For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. The Vic Porcelli Show.
All right. Welcome back. Hour number two, ready to roll. I'm Vic Porcelli. That is Ken Williams. Scott Shepard from the National Center for Public Policy Research. You know what? I'm standing up. That's the problem. Let me sit down.
Have a seat. You should only be standing when you're pissed.
When I'm mad. You're right. You're absolutely right. I'm sorry. Okay. Joining us at 10:41 will be Scott Shepard from the National Center for Public Policy Research, but now it's Mr., you know, the guy, him.
He's known by many names.
We the people are in charge. Once we put the people back in charge, we are going to save our republic.
The Closer, Nikki Two Shows, Schroer the Thrower, even the Bearded Wonder.
We are sending as many conservatives as possible to D.C. to take that gavel away from the decrepit, crazy Nancy Pelosi.
Twitter trolls love to hate him.
We love Vic Porcelli so much.
He's Nick Schroer, Missouri State Representative.
You're listening to Vic Porcelli on News Talk
STL. So cute! Those Schroer kids are so cute. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Good morning. Just brings a smile to my face hearing those little Viking princesses that I have.
Me as well.
Yep.
So you always say in the intro that crazy, decrepit Nancy Pelosi, crazy, decrepit one was on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert last night.
And another crazy, decrepit one. Sorry.
And she said, oh, no, the Democrats will retain the House of Representatives.
You know, this, when growing up, I used to watch this show, Tales from the Crypt, and it scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And seeing her on late night TV brought back some memories as she literally looks like, acts like, sounds like the Crypt Keeper from Tales from the Crypt. But
she does.
Yeah, it would be a horror story if the Democrats retain the House. I'm hoping, I'm praying it doesn't happen. I know that you guys have done a fabulous job telling people don't sit idly by. Don't think that this thing is in the bag, because we saw in 2020 when everyone thought, oh, man, the economy, crime, jobs, everything's going in the right direction. We've got it in the bag. Trump's got it. And the rest is history. So here we are. We need everyone to come out like they are in Florida right now. There's Democrats saying on the news media that Ron DeSantis is their guy, that they are lifelong Democrats, but he's actually putting their interests first. Just like the Republicans are doing across America, just like here in the state of Missouri, Eric Schmidt is doing against a billionaire heiress who is so out of touch. It is vitally important that early voting is open now. If you're going to be out of town for whatever reason, you can go to your election authority in St. Louis County or wherever you are. We've got the listening audience all the way to Jeff City, which is incredible reach for News Talk STL. But yeah, if you need to vote early, do it. If you're a Democrat, I know you want to vote often. You can only vote one time. So if you do vote early, stay at home the rest of the election season.
Boy, Nick danced right on that line, didn't he?
He did.
He almost said red wave. He almost said red tsunami. All right.
Can't do it.
All right. So a couple of things. First of all, I see that Planned Parenthood in Kansas City is going to have like an abortion mobile.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the murder mill of Planned Parenthood. They're trying to dance around the laws that we passed, most notably House Bill 126 that instituted the trigger law. It made Missouri the first in the nation state to outlaw elective abortions. And what we're seeing is Planned Parenthoods around the areas are going to around Missouri. So the border states that haven't had a trigger law put in place or abortion legislated like we have in the state of Missouri, they're going to go around the border trying to entice women, mothers, now that they know what women are, and not birthing people, they're going to entice them over. And right now it's going to be a medication-induced abortion, but I know they're exploring the opportunity to do physical abortions in their facilities. But this is something that the news media, the Kansas City Star, failed to mention, that I think it's about 85% patients that report at least one adverse reaction from abortion pills. These are pills that Planned Parenthood is trying to push through mail. They're trying to break the law, so to speak, knowingly break the law in the state of Missouri and partake in sending these pills to Missourians so they can kill their children. This is something that is unhealthy for mothers. It needs some legislative addressing next year, and you can guarantee that I'm going to be the one to do it.
All right. You know, remember when we were young? Remember when we were young and the bookmobile would come? Did you guys have bookmobiles here?
Oh, I loved it. God, yeah. I loved it.
Now's the abortion mobile. You know, instead of getting the book, you go in and you get an abortion and you go out. So Kim Landgraf, we just love her to death. She's so smart. And she calls Pelosi Count Vodkala.
Oh my God. I love it. I'm going to have to use that one.
Yeah. Count Vodkala. All right. So now the other story. Up there in your Freedom County of St. Charles. The St. Charles County executive is calling for St. Louis to, you know, get a grip on crime, or as my wife would say to the city of St. Louis, fix your
stuff.
What do you think?
Don't you cuss on this here radio.
Well, everything woke, as Donald Trump says, turns to you know what, and that's what is happening in the city of St. Louis. Is we have these woke prosecutors, woke mayors, woke elected officials that are turning a blind eye to the most violent and heinous crime, and it is spreading. It's been spreading in St. Charles County, Jefferson County, Franklin County. Almost 50% of the arrests last year in St. Charles alone, just right across the river, were attributed to people coming over from St. Louis. So, you know, I applauded County Executive Steve Ellman last night when I saw the story hit the airwaves. Because County Executive Ellman is backing two bills that I have put forth last year, the bill that would allow Missouri, the state of Missouri, to take back control of the city of St. Louis police. That's what the police on the ground are wanting. It's what the citizens of the St. Louis want, because they see what is happening to their property values, to their life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, as the elected officials are turning a blind eye to crime and driving good police out into St. Charles County, Franklin County. They do not want to take part in what's happening in St. Louis. And the other bill that I had last year that County Executive Ellman is prioritizing is combining St. Louis City and St. Louis County court systems. And we've seen the massive drop in population in both City of St. Louis and St. Louis County at an all-time low. Ultimately, this would save resources by combining these two together and actually give the people of St. Louis an opportunity to vote on the prosecutor. Now, Wesley Bell, I know a lot of people put him right in the same category as Kim Gardner, but at least when it came to the whole Mike Brown situation, he said, yeah, we're going to investigate it. And I did not have high hopes for him, but when he came back and said, look, the DOJ said there's nothing there, we're not going to touch this. Officer Wilson, we are not coming after you. I at least liked that approach a heck of a lot better than Kim Gardner's just throwing her hands up and demonizing the very men and women that protect and serve these communities. So I'm very, very happy that County Executive Ellman is standing up and putting Tashara Jones on blast, saying, look, get your act together, because your crime is spilling into our areas and you're giving our region a bad name. No one wants to come here because of the murder, the crime, all of the crazy stuff that's happening in St. Louis. Get your act together so we can grow this region.
Everything woke turns to shit, okay? It's true.
And again, I'll say, as my wife would say, fix your
stuff.
Thanks.
Fix your stuff.
Does Dave want to talk to Nick?
Yeah.
Okay, our buddy Dave wants to say hi to you, Nick.
Good morning, State Senator. How are you, sir? Good morning, Ken and Vic. Is that you? Doesn't sound like you.
Yeah, it's big.
So wise ass in every corner, I swear to God. Go ahead.
State Senator, I have a question for you.
He's jumping the gun, isn't he? State Senator, I got it right.
He is.
I love it.
Let's just cut right through the
You got it. You got it, Dave.
Here's a question I have for you. If you remember when Nixon was the governor and Rex Squinfield had made several donations when Francis Slay was the mayor, boom, next thing you know, the city's got control of the police department from the state. Now, you know, it's not real hard to connect those dots. I don't understand how it basically, in my opinion, layman's terms, the police department was basically bought and then given to the city of St. Louis. And, you know, Parsons has been in now there 2 years. I think that's something worth looking into.
Nick?
Well, you know, I wasn't in office at that time. I think I was still in college when all of that happened. But I do remember it going to the vote of the people. You know, should we investigate a lot of these different issues that are happening, especially with the ballot initiatives, putting things on the ballot and having out-of-state millionaires paying for our Constitution to be changed? 100% that needs to be changed. It needs to be addressed. But as of right now, I just want to take action. I see what's happening in the city of St. Louis. We were down there for the Cardinals game this weekend. And, you know, talking to some of the police, some of the law enforcement are saying, look, record lows. It's massive amount of turnover, record lows of police on the streets right now. The Cardinals are actually paying off duty cops to come in and just stand around and be, you know, have that presence. So I think, you know, we need to take action to take control back of the city of St. Louis police. We know Tashara Jones, Kim Gardner, Corey Bush, none of them are going to work with us on fixing this crime issue. So it's time to put up or shut up. I think, you know, the Senate, we're going to have to take this up next year among a couple other bills. But, you know, if there was some shady business dealing with buying control of the police, I agree with you 100%. It needs to be investigated. And if there was some criminal activity, we need to focus on that and get the attorney general, whether he's still in office or whoever takes control after he wins to go into the U.S. Senate, they need to crack a hammer down on this.
All right, Dave, great question. Thanks so much. All right, so let's talk about the times we're living in, Nick. I have never rooted for Democrats more than now. In the county executive race, you know, we were rooting for Jane Duker because anything's better than Sam Page. Now we're rooting for Mark Montavani because anything's better than Sam Page. What do you think about Montavani? I mean, I like the CEO mentality.
Yeah, you know, this morning on is either this morning or yesterday, might have been yesterday on the Mike Ferguson show when they had Montavani on. I know that there was a caller.
It was this morning.
Yeah, so you know, I listened to that, and I know that there was some apprehension, and you know. Having some Republicans want to stay home, some Republicans saying that he's a rhino, a Republican in name only. But let's face it, people. I mean, if I ran as strongly conservative as I am, if I ran for county executive in St. Louis County, even though I grew up there, I don't have a shot. I mean, there's so many Democrats that are not going to pull a ballot for me. So I think our only chance is with somebody like Mark Montavani. And I will take that person. I will take a moderate over Sam Page, over a liberal tyrant that disregards the voice of the people. And I think getting closer and closer and closer to conservatism, that's going to be the way that we drastically change St. Louis County politics and St. Louis City politics. But ultimately, yeah, I'm going to be telling all of my friends and family in St. Louis County to make sure that they vote for Mark Montavani. Yes, he is not a Donald Trump. He's not a Nick Schroer. He's not a Vic Porcelli by any means. But what he is he's our only shot to move further away from tyranny, closer back to constitutional conservatism.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, that's why I had a question for him this morning regarding that. I feel that there are a lot of just regular Democrats, not the far left socialists that we're talking about all the time, but right. Just normal Democrats in St. Louis County and also independents that are leaning away from Sam Page. Just, you know, I just said, well, what message do you want to give him? And he gave him a message, you know, and I think that's what we need to do is make sure that not only our Republican friends, but the people who are on the fence need to be aware of what's going on with Mark Montavani.
Absolutely. I mean, as of right now, number one, he's the lesser of two evils. Right. But I think he sees the evil in his former party, in the Democrat Party. It is not the party of JFK, your grandparents, of your parents. This is the party of socialism, of extremists. And that's why we're seeing so many people like Ronald Reagan did, like Donald Trump did. Now Mark Montavani has made the switch, and hopefully he will become the victor in our next county executive for St. Louis County in November.
I'm the victor.
You are.
Thank you. So here's the good place, though, that Montavani is in right now, okay? He is a Democrat, right? So when you're talking to Democrats, you know, oh, I don't want to vote. Well, he's a Democrat. Go ahead, fine. It's fine. And then Republicans, oh, you know, he's running as a Republican. You know what I mean? He's got that great guy. He's right in the middle where he can talk to both sides and say, no, I'm that. No, yeah, I'm that too.
Well, he's got that, like you said, the CEO mentality. And that's what I think helped us so much during the Trump presidency is that we had somebody running our tax dollars and using our tax dollars like they would in a business. And that's what we need in St. Louis County. We saw what Sam Page did with these tyrannical shutdowns. And if anything like that happens again, I know there's some apprehension in sending somebody like Montavani down, who used to be a Democrat and who kind of praised some of these things in the past. Well, hopefully he's met with the business owners. He's met with the constituents that are fed up. And like that caller today, this morning, said he's not even looking in St. Louis County and moving. He's now considering God's country, St. Charles County, So I think it's because he wants to have a senator like Nick Schroer or Bill Eigel.
Yeah.
But when you look at different things like property values and taxes, so much needs to change in St. Louis County, and I'm hoping that Montevani will be the one to do it.
You know what? It's so funny. Again, I'm going back to when Jane Duker was in this room. You know, she came in. I gave her credit for coming in, you know, because talking to somebody face-to-face is a lot different than being on the phone. We used to have face-to-face conversations with, you know, say Nick Schroer, who doesn't come in anymore. That's fine. But when she was in here, the first thing I said to her, Nick, was the old phrase is the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And I said,
amen.
Are you my friend? And she said, yes, I am. I said, all the way. She said, all the way. So that's somebody who has no inklings, I don't think, to be a Republican, where Montevani, you know, a little bit there, you know, possibly a bit. So not only is he the enemy of the enemy, which is my friend, but also can just be my friend if he just runs like a Republican and a smart individual.
Yeah, I mean, just run as a Republican.
Right.
Run as somebody who's going to advocate for these small business owners, these job creators, and these men and women that were forced out of the workforce. I mean, they couldn't go to work because their businesses were shut down. Their employer was shut down. So, yeah, Jane Duker, she's very interesting. She's still a very proud Democrat, she says, but she will admit that it is not the party of JFK anymore. She is closer to a moderate center-right type of person that you know, you would identify with now. But I think Montevani's a little bit further to the right. I think, you know, over time with his business experience, he's seen what the Democrats have done, preying upon businesses, preying upon successful people. And that's where I'm hoping he has seen the light, and let's just guide him into the heavens. So all the Republicans, don't stay at home. Don't say that, you know, hey, he's a moderate. No, he's a heck of a lot better than Sam Page, and he will absolutely be our saving grace in transforming the St. Louis City, St. Louis County, and St. Charles County, St. Charles County region.
All right. Well done, Nick Schroer. All right. So there's this show that's on News Talk STL, Stand and Fight. You know anything about that?
It's a damn good show.
Yes, it is. What's coming up?
Vic,
I'll tell you what.
What's it called, Vic?
Stand and Fight?
Oh.
Yeah, Stand and Fight.
It's something that you guys do all the time. But on Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Yeah, you know, I see you stand on occasion watching the live streams on Facebook.
When I'm mad.
Oh, when he gets pissed, yeah.
I know. I'm waiting for something to get thrown. But, yeah, every Sunday night, 8 p.m., we are attacking all of the current issues. And the closer that we get to the election, the closer that we get to next session, we're starting to put the focus and pull the curtains back so the general public can see what's happening in the Capitol here in Jeff City, in the Capitol in D.C. This week, or this Sunday, we're going to have Paul Kirkman on. Paul Kirkman to discuss a lot of things. This next session to discuss the rumors of World War III happening with his military experience.
Right.
He's going to be able to give us the tools that we can stand and fight and combat a lot of this crap that we hear on CNN and MSNBC.
The more I hear Paul Kirkman talk, the more I want to hear him talk more.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy statement. If that's
he just needs
is.
A mustache.
He needs something like a little, just facial hair.
I hear that mustaches are coming back. That's
yeah,
what I heard.
Fanny packs, too.
Fanny packs?
And mullets.
Oh, my God.
Mullets.
Okay. This conversation is taking a terrible turn. Nick Schroer, have a great day, buddy. We'll talk next week. Keep up the good fight.
God bless you, Patriots. I'll see y'all.
Right on.
God bless you, Nick.
That is Nick Schroer. Okay. I think if it's okay with you.
Yeah.
And if you could work this out, I'd like to actually have Jane Duker back in.
Yeah.
Just to get her take on all these months later.
Yeah.
The election's only 35 days away. Be interesting to get her take. I also have a wish list of people. Should we wait till we get off the air for that?
I think we should probably do that. Yeah.
All right. Coming up at 10:41, Scott Shepard from the National Center for Public Policy Research. And coming up next, Joe Biden. What can I say except he did it again? And we'll talk about that. And if we have time, we want to get Tony Colombo in here to talk about cheating fishermen. That's all next on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. You're listening to The Vic Porcelli Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Made in St. Louis for St. Louis. It's News Talk STL.
Perfect thing to play over this song. is Joey. This is a sexy song, isn't it?
Oh, right, I love this.
And then Joey goes, hey, how you doing? Come on in. Listen to some Young Holt Incorporated. All right, Ken, before we go any further,
yeah,
I need a call from you.
Okay.
Tony Colombo is our station fisherman, right?
Right.
Do you ever listen to the show he does on the weekend?
Yeah.
It's great. Loves to fish. And there's this story about these two cheating fishermen who said they caught this fish that would have won them money, a lot of money, right?
Right.
And it turns out they cheated. So he is willing to talk to us. Either we call him now or pop him in at the end of the show.
I'd say pop him in a little later.
All right, Tony, if you're listening, end of the show would be perfect. Because he'll be in the studio, probably.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. So, Ken, Tony, if you could pop in at the end of the show, that'd be great. And we'll talk about these cheating fishermen. Okay. So, do you remember when Bill Clinton would do it too, but Hillary, she would alter the way she speaks depending upon who she's talking to?
Or she, yeah, she was talking to somebody she talked about. Tobacco sauce, or Tabasco sauce in her purse.
Yes. But also, I ain't no ways tired.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pandering. Too far. And she's trying to pander to the black audience. So, Joe Biden goes to Puerto Rico to find the hurricane damage when the hurricane damage is in Florida, which I thought was weird, right?
Right.
The big talk is Florida, right?
Right.
Tampa, destroyed. Neighborhoods, destroyed. Let's go to Puerto Rico. That makes plenty of sense, right? So he's in Puerto Rico, and, you know, when he was talking to the black church, they're going to put you all back in chains. Remember that?
Oh.
Right? So now he's in Puerto Rico. So what does he say to the people in Puerto Rico? He says...
And so I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home.
So he was raised by Puerto Ricans, like he was some foster child who was taken in by a Puerto Rican family and was raised, you know, sort of Puerto Rican in Delaware, okay. Right? So we had no idea that Joe is Puerto Rican. But Ken, now it all makes sense. Now
say
it all...
Say it with me. See?
Now it makes sense, right? Now go. Yep. Puerto Rican. Like the sharks in West Side Story. I like to be in America. This is so, listen to this music. So great. Leonard Bernstein, I think, right?
Say it with me. Si se puede.
Now play Joe again.
So I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community.
I think he was one of the sharks, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I cannot believe how these people pander to whoever it is that they're talking to.
They keep trying.
Everywhere they go. I'm ready for him to go to Zimbabwe, right? And speak to people in Zimbabwe. You know, I celebrate Kwanzaa every year. Always did when I was a kid in Delaware.
Will they do that noise?
I don't know what that is.
It's a language. It's a language. It is a language in a country in Africa.
Ken, have you been drinking this morning?
Yep.
That's a language?
Yeah.
So you're bilingual,
they,
clearly.
They click.
You're clearly bilingual.
I'm just telling you, I saw it on National Geographic. That's how they communicated.
You're not allowed to watch that anymore because I don't believe that.
Because Joe's going to start clicking. You watch.
But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How ridiculous does it have to get before Kamala Harris, you know, put the blame on her? She's got to start the 25th Amendment fight. And there's something in it for her, by the way, right? She'll become the president, the idiot president.
Yeah.
Now she's just the idiot vice president. Now she could be the idiot president.
You know, people are afraid of that. I think it would be interesting to watch her as president. It would be so funny.
All right. So let's try to picture Kamala Harris being the president of the United States and having a peace negotiation with another country, right?
Yeah.
Like with Russia, maybe, you know? And she says, Vladimir, it's a big gun.
And she has a comparison here with Julia Louise Dreyfus from Veeps.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Play that.
My fellow Americans, words have many meanings, and sometimes instead of conveying our meaning, they can suggest other meanings.
When we talk about the children of the community, they are a children of the community.
Well, we are the United States of America because we are united. And we are states.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time. Right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
Whatever we have in store cannot be known. The past was once the future. The future is, I should say, unknown.
We gotta take this stuff seriously as you are, because you have been forced to have to take it seriously.
Obesity is a serious disease, and it needs to be taken seriously.
You need to get to go, and need to be able to get where you need to go to do the work and get home.
I hope that clarifies the issue, and this can be the last word on those words.
Certain issues are just settled.
Clearly we're not.
No, that's right, and that's why I do believe that we are living, sadly, in real unsettled times.
Ken, somewhere in that, I got lost on which was which.
Yeah.
Which was Julia Louis-Dreyfus being funny in The Veep and Kamala Harris just being stupid.
Right. That's the funnest part of that whole thing.
Yeah, it sure is. All right.
So I want to see her. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Can we, in the couple minutes we have here, check the chat box? Say hi to our friends in the chat box. Okay. Kim says she'll be talking about the Democrat playbook at the council meeting tonight. Pandering is mentioned.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, don't forget, when you think of famous Puerto Ricans in history, don't forget to think of Joe Biden. Good morning, ladies, gents, and cats. Hi. I think Kim had the best nickname for Nancy Pelosi so far this morning, Count Vodkula. Vodkula. I'm not sure how you'd say it.
Count Vodkula.
But, you know, she's drunk.
Yeah.
She said John Cooper is annoying. He certainly is. There's a good John Cooper on Twitter, and there's a bad John Cooper. We like the good John Cooper, who we spoke to yesterday, and we actually asked him if he would change his... You can't change your handle at what's after the at symbol.
Right.
That stays. But you can change everything else about your profile and everything. Hopkins says, good morning, Ken. No good morning to Vic. That's fine. So say hi to Hopkins. You two can go get a room.
Hi, Hopkins. How you doing, buddy?
Beetle Baby was so happy to be on the air with us yesterday talking about the Beetle show.
She did so well, too.
Yeah, you know, she really did. She did a great, great job.
Real detailed.
Yep. Linda loved hearing her. All right. So thanks, you guys, for being there. Thanks for chatting. Thanks for being with us. We really appreciate your support.
I want to say this is for Sean.
Whoosh.
There you go, Sean.
Sean, I believe it's Sean. If correct me here. Sean, you need to chime in on this and make sure I'm talking about the right person. I'm pretty sure he's the one that's got the ticket that the Cardinals will win the World Series that he placed in April.
Oh, okay.
And if that hits, it'd be like a $7,000 hit if the Cardinals win the World Series.
Nice.
I think it was him.
Yeah, I'd like to know that.
Sean, let us know, baby. Be sure you cut us in, too. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I will, Vic. All right. We're going to do that.
Scott Shepard from the National Center for Public Policy Research joins us next, and we're going to fit Tony Colombo in to find out about these cheating fishermen. That's all next. This song is like musical heroin.
Mm-hmm.
More to come. 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Hit it.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
You're listening to the Vic Porcelli Show.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
Made in St. Louis for St. Louis. It's News Talk STL.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back. Welcome home to 101.9 94.1. News Talk STL. Scott Shepard from the National Center for Public Policy Research has some really important information about big tech censorship coming up in a bit. But first, some breaking news. We just heard this news. Country legend Loretta Lynn has passed away. And, you know, the coal miner's daughter. I think it was Sissy Spacek played her, I think, in the movie, right? Isn't that right? Sissy Spacek played Loretta Lynn in Coal
yeah.
Miner's Daughter? There she is. Turn it up. Autobiographical. She really was.
My mom loved her.
She was a coal miner's daughter. She was 90 years old. Not too much more you can say than certainly a country music superstar and legend. She had hits in the 60s and 70s, including what you're listening to now, Coal Miner's Daughter. One last blast for Loretta Lynn.
All day long in the fields of hoeing corn.
We're losing country people here, right?
A lot of older artists in general.
Was it Naomi Judd? Which I always get the Judds mixed up.
Yeah, she passed.
Name me the Judds.
Naomi's the oldest. I think
that's
she's
the
mother.
Yeah. She passed away at her own hand, unfortunately. Yeah. So that was very sad. And now news today that Loretta Lynn, the coal miner's daughter herself, passed away at the age of 90. And Sissy Spacek, you know, I was just going to say that she did a great job playing her, but I think she might have even won an award for playing Loretta Lynn. I don't know. I might be wrong on that, but I know she was very good as Loretta Lynn.
No, I think you're right. I think she did win
right?
some sort of award.
I don't know why that popped into my head. Yeah, yeah. I think she might have. All right. So very important stuff to talk about when it comes to big tech censorship, big tech running making the rules, don't like that whatsoever. And I think that, you know, things can be done to try to fix this. So over to the National Center for Public Policy Research we go. Scott Shepard joins us again. Scott, great to have you. How are you?
Oh, always great to be with you, Vic. How are you?
Good. Just a quick reminder of the rules. Don't say red wave or red tsunami. You'll hear this. This. That. And we'll say try again. Okay. So tell me about this lawsuit, the Texas lawsuit about big tech censorship.
You mean the one that's going to start the red tsunami?
He said it. Did you not understand the rules? We can go through them again. If you say red wave or red tsunami, you'll hear that.
I couldn't leave the day without getting buzzed.
I know.
Mean, challenge accepted, Vic.
Well, I get buzzed on the way in. So, okay, no, I'm just kidding. That's not true. All right, so, Scott, what about this lawsuit?
Wait, forgive me. Remind me which lawsuit we're talking about. I got so excited by the buzzer.
Wow. We are disrupting the day of Scott Shepard. I didn't think that
that's
was
great.
Possible. The Texas law helping social media users fight big tech censorship.
Yeah. Oh, this is really exciting, Vic. Because, you know, the Section 230 is of the 1996 Communications Decency Act. That's what's been protecting these social media companies to have it both ways. They both act like publishers, which is to say they edit people's comments, they take down people's comments, they add lying explanations, they defame people by saying that true facts are misinformation or disinformation or are harmful and hateful, but only against right-wing positions. You know, of course, you can call for the death of Supreme Court justices as long as they're right-wing Supreme Court justices.
Right.
But, you know, and so they've been acting like publishers, but free from defamation lawsuits, which would absolutely and rightly wreck them when they make these defamation claims. And so the state of Texas passed a law that said, look, you can't discriminate on the basis of viewpoint. So you can be a publisher and you can act that way, but you have to have neutral rules that apply to the left as well as the right. Mm-hmm. And the initial response social media was to say, no, we can do absolutely whatever we want because we are the gods of speech now and the Constitution doesn't matter. And the court in Texas, the Fifth Circuit said, no, that's not how that works at all. We rather think that you should be treated like common carriers, which is to say, like the old telephone. Imagine if Bell, the Bell telephone system, when we were kids, had, you know, had Gilda Radner on the line listening to our conversations and cutting off the connection if we dared to support Republican candidates or you know, say conservative thoughts. That they were treated as common carriers. They were restricted in having it, you know, you just didn't get into conversations without a warrant. And that's how they were treated. Well, you know, once Facebook and Twitter and Amazon Web Services all combined together to stop any competition to Twitter, and once they got in there and started conniving with this White House to restrict the liberties, the speech liberties of Americans, well, not only is the White House committing crimes by doing that, but I mean, this White House committing crimes, that's just a day of the week, but they also violated their position as a business. They committed antitrust, and they've acted as a publisher in bad faith, which should get them out of Section 230 protections anyway. So this is an amazing, exciting case that's going to get Section 230 in front of the Supreme Court. And Clarence Thomas, Justice Thomas, has indicated, yeah, I think it's time to treat these folks like common carriers in a previous opinion. So this could be the end of their stranglehold over public debate.
Well, I wish it were a little earlier, because it's too little too late for these midterms, with the midterms only 35 days away. If it's going up to the Supreme Court, that's not going to happen in 35 days, right? And already the damage is done with everything that the right has been squashed, and everything on the left certainly brought to the forefront by Facebook, Twitter, everything you just mentioned. And, you know, I wish that they had worked on this earlier, like, say, before 2020 would have been great.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, Vic, the great problem, and we see this all the time at the Free Enterprise Project, so many wishy-washy, what Mrs. Thatcher would have called wet Republicans, still don't understand what time it is. They still think that any interference with the acts of corporate executives is an attack on business and against free enterprise, where in these days, where the CEOs are usurping the power of capitalists for their own personal policy preferences and setting themselves up as unelected dictators, we can't just refuse to pass laws. We can't just pretend that everything a corporate executive does is just fine, even if they're locking us in our homes and stealing our liberties. We have to recognize that CEOs are largely the bad guys, the anti-freedom people in the modern world. And it's taken all Republicans a long time to realize this, and it's still taking a lot of the wets time to realize this. And that's why we've been slow off the mark. But I think good states, solidly run states with good thinkers in the legislature are finally catching up.
That's us. That's Missouri. We're talking to Scott Shepard, fellow and Free Enterprise Project Director at the National Center for Public Policy Research. It's funny, when you started talking about this, Scott, and you said that, you know, these media companies, or, you know, Twitter and those people, you're saying, oh, yeah, we're a publisher. But then when they get called, oh, no, we're just a you know, a free right. speech site. It reminded me of Jon Stewart when he was on The Daily Show. And, you know, he wanted to be Mr. Political Policy, right? And then he was debating, I think it was Newt Gingrich. I'm not sure that's right. But then Newt had him, like, nailed to the wall. And Jon goes, I'm just a comedian. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Yep.
Are you a comedian, or do you want to be a political policy advisor?
Yeah. The old clown nose on, clown nose
off. Exactly. Exactly, Scott.
But with these guys, it's jackboot on, jackboot off.
Right. Right. Off your throat. Right. All right. So anything else we need to know about this? I hope we win, right? I hope we have a, you know, one of those big water things that are colored, you know, the nice color that we like. But I don't want to get too cocky and everything. And now look what's happened. It looks like it, not that it might not happen, but it might be closer than we think. All right, Scott, tell us about the National Center and the Free Enterprise Project, would you?
Yeah, we're at nationalcenter.org, at freeenterpriseproject.org. I've got a weekly column at Real Clear Markets. You can follow us in all three of those places, and we'd love to hear from you. Love for your listeners to get involved in telling these corporations to knock it off and get back to flying us around the country and making fizzy drinks and shut up about politics they don't understand.
Fantastic. All right, Scott, let's talk again soon, right, buddy?
Anytime. Thank you so much, Vic.
Yep. He's good, man. He is good.
Yep.
Holy cow. All right. Well, my goodness. Look who it is. Carmine Persico of the Colombo crime family. How are you, man?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. I'm well as well. So,
good.
You're a fisher person.
I am a fisher person. I'm an angler.
You're an angler.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, don't you have a record, Tony, for the biggest piece of crap fish? What do they call it? Crappy fish?
I like to claim that I am the unofficial state record holder for the largest crappie. But that is very unofficial.
Why?
Because I caught a, I didn't turn it in. I didn't realize how big, I didn't realize what I had when I caught it.
Okay. Yeah. So there's this fishing story that's controversial right now because these two guys caught some fish and apparently they put weights in the fish.
Yeah.
When they weighed it.
Yeah.
Now, but, and then I'm like, why would you do that? But there was money up for grabs here, right? There's prize money.
Oh my God. These guys. Yeah. No, this, unfortunately, when you sent me the first text about, hey, did you see this fishing scandal? Weights in the fish was the first thing that I thought of because, unfortunately, this is
that's
a thing that's been around for a while.
Wow.
You'd hope that we have grown past that and it wasn't still a thing, but apparently it's alive and well, that type of cheating. And, yeah, no, these guys have won hundreds of thousands of dollars. They, in that tournament alone, they won $30,000, but they were Angler of the Year in 2022. They had won the boat that they, like they had won $100,000 plus boats.
All by cheating?
Who knows, right? Right. But certainly, apparently these guys have been suspected of cheating for a very long time in various tournaments and things like that. So this is, the video is incredible to watch these racquetball size weights, lead weights, being pulled out of these fish. And these guys are dumb, too, because, like, anglers know, fishermen know, like, what a 5-pound fish looks like or a 6, you know, like, when you pull it out, you can,
right,
you,
right.
Can you can eyeball
after
it.
After so
guess.
Many times, you just
yeah.
know, yeah.
Yeah, and they're pulling out these fish out of these guys' out of these guys' boat, and they're saying, you know, like, oh, that looks like a 4.5-pound fish, and it's a 7-pound fish.
Right.
So there's, like, you know, all the BS meters are going off already because of these fish. And, and they end up, what they were doing is they were taking, this is a walleye fishing tournament. They were taking walleye fillets and wrapping big sinker weights, like egg sinker weights in the walleye fillets and then stuffing these fillets down these fish's mouth into their bellies.
Right.
And adding a pound and a half to 2 pounds of weight to every fish.
So the weights were through the mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the one guy's lifetime winnings is over $3 million.
Oh, my God.
Holy
cow.
How
much of that is...
It's cheating.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, that's a crime.
Yeah.
That's like jail time crime.
I say put them away, man.
All the people that lost that money?
Yeah. Yeah.
The restitution.
Guys who, yeah.
All right. So is it a great time for crappie fishing or what?
It is always a great time for crappie fishing, and you should listen to the Bluff City Outdoors Show if you want to hear more about crappie fishing every Saturday at 11 a.m. right here on News Talk STL.
I know I'm a crappie fisherman, that's for sure. Tony, thanks so much, man.
You
we
bet.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tony.
It's just incredible how stupid people are. I mean, you have to take the picture of yourself when you hold the fish, right?
Right.
You always see the guys holding the fish by the mouth, right? And they don't think somebody's going to say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on? It looks a little heavy.
That's amazing to me. You know, they had to, the judges had to be suspect because of their past performances
alone.
And, you know, just saying, all right, you know, we're going to have to check these.
And Ken, don't we always say they go too far, right? 2,000 mules told us that the Democrats went way too far
yeah.
with how many votes.
Right.
Right. These guys did the same thing. People go too far.
Right.
That's too big, crappy, or walleye, or whatever. It's not that big. All right. Hey, listen, thank you so much for having the record player on at night to listen to us this morning.
Make sure you have the record player on at night.
Dan Bongino coming up next on 101.9 and Jimmy Failla on 94.1 for Fox Across America. Thank you so much for listening. 35 days till the midterm. We'll keep an eye on everything that we possibly can, okay? On 101.9, 94.1, News Talk STL. Welcome home.
Whoosh.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.